Also, I'm not crapping on the movie at all, but at one point last night, on my first or second viewing, I thought, how much time did One-Eyes Willie's... I can't even say it.
Hey, you guys!
How's that for an opening?
I know. Three guesses what we're doing tonight.
Yeah.
Or today.
No, yeah. No, this time.
This time.
This time. Yeah, funnily enough, hello. Welcome to Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure. And tonight, we're going to be talking about...
The Goonies.
The Goonies.
Very, very excited.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm really looking forward to this one.
Yes, I'm Matt.
And I'm Darren.
Sorry. We forgot to introduce each other, that's all.
Oh, yeah, good point, good point. Well, they should know that by now. We're on episode... whatever it is.
Yeah, eight. Episode 8.
It is episode 8, isn't it?
Wow, it's going fast.
Yeah, really fast.
So we decided to drop the Goonies in, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Drop the Goonies in. Why did we drop the Goonies in?
Well, funnily enough, last night, for the first time ever, I went to a drive-in movie. Was it your first time as well?
It was my first time was with you last night, and yes. Your wife, actually.
Yeah, all three of us were drive-in virgins last night.
We went to a drive-in movie with a couple of friends, and... Yep. Can I just say, I'm going to paint a picture here. So I get picked up by Darren and his wife last night. They wouldn't let me in the car until I did the truffle shuffle. I actually had to do the truffle shuffle to get in the car. I was like, you guys.
Yeah, you did it very well, though, to be fair.
Well, it's the end of lockdown. Of course, I did it very well.
And there is a video, if we get enough.
Right. No. Moving on now. So...
Just saying, Patreon, you know, it's just a nice little extra.
It's not a nice little extra, though, is it? There's a lot extra, but it's not nice.
Well, people might want to see it.
So the Goonies, then.
Moving swiftly on.
Moving very swiftly on.
Yeah, the Goonies. Well, I mean, it's obvious. It's a great film.
It's pretty darn good. I will go with that.
Pretty darn good, yeah. Yeah, I love this film.
It's great. Yeah. It's great. In fact, it's so great. I went home after the drive-in and watched it again.
You didn't.
I actually did. That's I was up awesome. Till really, really late because I watched
I
it
was
again.
Tempted to come home and watch it, but I was, you know, being an old fart, I almost fell asleep the minute I got home. But that might be something to do with the two hot dogs.
Two hot dogs, yeah.
And, I can't believe you watched it twice in one night.
I know. I loved it. And at my age, you could do it twice in one night.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go there, but yeah, you're quite right. Yeah.
So then before we go deeper into the film, how about we take you back to 1985?
Yeah, like this feature, yeah.
It's just nice to look back at some of the things that were happening that we might remember, other people might remember. Are you ready?
I think I'm ready, yeah.
So in 1985, Darren, a little company called Blockbuster was founded.
Never heard of them.
I know, right? It's crazy.
I take it not in this country.
I think it was in America, yeah.
Right. I was going to say, I remember it being a lot later than that.
It took over the world, didn't it? Blockbuster became a huge thing.
Yeah.
I was really excited to get one in Plymouth. I was like, ooh, Blockbuster.
Yeah. Oh, I do miss having places like Blockbuster to go to.
Yeah, it was always that thing. You'd probably spend longer choosing the video than you would watching it.
Yeah, it's true. Or waiting for, you know, for a new release to come back in stock.
Yes.
I remember like independent ones would have like maybe two copies at the most. So you'd have to book it and wait.
Put your name on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Blockbuster turned up with like 20, 30 copies. Sometimes more, you're going to tell me, aren't you?
I was always the gits that would maybe forget to return it on time, so somebody would be waiting for the film. I know.
You were that person.
I was that guy.
You horrible bastard.
I'm evil.
Yeah, no, I remember those days having to just to wait for one to come back in stock.
All right, what else? The Titanic was found.
Oh, really?
Yep.
In 1985. I didn't realise it. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
I've got a fact for you. I looked at this fact and I thought, Darren will love this.
Go on.
The first WrestleMania.
Yes, yeah. WrestleMania. Oh, God.
Because you were a huge wrestling fan, weren't you?
Absolutely. In the 80s, when you know, they were allowed to take steroids and stuff. When they were fucking huge. Yeah, those were the days, though, because you know, they looked invincible and like the heavyweight champ. What a fucking monster. An absolute monster. Not
did you see their... Sorry, whistle there. Do you see their... they're doing a Hulk Hogan film?
Yes, with Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tess got very excited.
I'm sure she... What, because she likes Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I
can't see any other attraction, if I'm honest.
A couple more facts for you. Live Aid.
Yes, and funnily enough...
It was huge, wasn't it?
That's this weekend, 35 years ago.
Is it really?
Yeah, at time of recording, it's the whatever it is of July.
Yeah, yeah, so we've recorded this quite early. You're probably not going to get this until August. Yeah. Because we're quite far ahead at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Just in case anything crops up and we can't record for a while, we've decided to jump ahead of ourselves. At time of recording, Live Aid was 35 years ago this weekend, and I remember it so well.
See, I don't really remember. I remember seeing videos later on, but it was just a game changer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the whole world pretty much was involved in such a fantastic thing to do. Simulcast across, the UK and the USA, and even in Concord.
Mm.
Phil Collins got to perform in London and Philadelphia.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I guess I've only got a couple more facts. Right. I mean, Rock Hudson died.
Yeah. Of course, that would have been at the height of all that sort of... was he like the first big, major worldwide star to die of HIV/AIDS? I guess he probably was.
Around that time, I'm assuming so, yeah.
Without bringing the podcast down. But it's a fact, isn't it? We were all terrified in this country about this, that sort of time with... do you remember the Don't Die of Ignorance campaign?
Oh, I think so. Just vaguely, yeah. It was weird growing up as a kid in the 80s and you hear all these campaigns and you're like, what? What's going on? What?
Yeah. But that was the coronavirus of his day. Wow. Scary.
And, just some notable films of the time.
Yep.
Obviously, Back to the Future.
Never heard of it.
Rocky IV. Teen Wolf.
Oh, great film.
Breakfast Club. And Commando.
I can't wait to do Commando.
So those are my little facts to take you back to 1985.
Nice.
So is it time for the charts, Darren?
I guess it is.
I love this. It makes me smile.
The Goonies' first release was in the USA and Canada on the 7th of June 1985. So for this week's chart, we're looking at the top 10 UK hits for the week commencing 2nd of June 1985. At number 10, climbing 5 places from 15, it's Skritti Pallitti and The Word Girl. At number 9, up from 19, it's Billy Ocean and Suddenly. And at number 8, climbing 1 place from number 9, it's Katrina and the Waves and Walking on Sunshine. At number 7, falling 4 places from number 3, it's Jimmy Nail and Love Don't Live Here Anymore. And at number 6, climbing 6 places from number 12, it's Animotion and Obsession. At number 5, climbing 3 places from number 8, it's Gary Moore and Phil Lynott and Out in the Fields. And it's a new entry at number 4 for The Crowd and You'll Never Walk Alone. At number 3, climbing 1 place from last week's number 4, it's Marillion and Kaylee. At number 2, it's a non-mover for Duran Duran and A View to a Kill. Which means it's a non-mover for number 1, it's Paul Hardcastle and Na-na-na-na 19. And that was the top 10 UK chart for the week commencing 2nd of June 1985.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
I like that.
I know you do. Yeah. I feel like I've gone back to the 80s and I'm listening to a radio show on a Sunday night or something and just about to record the charts.
Trying to cut the DJ.
Trying to stop the tape.
Yeah.
Well, should we look into this?
Yeah. Let's go. Oh, we can do it with this one as well. Let's go deeper into the Goonies. Okay, so as regular listeners will know at this point in the podcast, it's time for the first little competition-y type thing, and Matt has to give us the synopsis. So, this week, Matt, how long is the film?
The film is 6 hours and 22 minutes.
Nice try.
The film is 1 hour and 49 minutes.
So you get 1 minute 49 seconds to tell us the synopsis of the film. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's have the jingle. And take it away.
The film opens with Jake Fratelli escaping prison and reuniting with his mother and his brother. There's a high-speed chase that goes past the Goonies, who we then meet. They consist of Mikey, Brand, Data, Mouth, Chunk, Andy and Steph. The younger Goonies find a doubloon and a map in the Walsh's attic, and in an effort to save the house from being demolished and turned into a golf course, decide to go on a treasure hunt using the map. The map leads them to an abandoned restaurant, which is now occupied by the Fratellis, who scare the Goonies at first. They leave, and then they return with Bran, Andy, and Steph. They're in the hideout when the Fratellis return, and they manage to escape through a hidden tunnel while Chunk is sent to go and get help. He's captured and interrogated in the best interrogation scene ever put to film. After a bunch of bats fly out, revealing the location of the tunnel, Chunk is locked up with Sloth, and the Fratellis follow the trail, with the new bromance of Chunk and Sloth finally in pursuit. Meanwhile, the Goonies, already on the trail, face a whole host of booby traps, including falling rocks, trick floors, and a death organ. Yes, I said death organ. Not only facing this, they have to contend with the ongoing pursuit of the Fratellis. The final escape from the organ sends them on the best water slide I've ever seen, and this takes them to a huge cavern where One-Eyed Willy's ship is anchored. They start to take the treasure, but the Fratellis finally catch up, making the kids walk the plank until they are saved by Chunk and Sloth. Hey, you guys! The Goonies come to the realization that living is much more important than money. As they're trying to escape with dynamite, the Fratellis set off a final booby trap, and it's the superheroic efforts of Sloth that allow them to escape to the beach. They're reunited with their parents, and we see the Fratellis have escaped and are arrested. Mikey and Bran's dad is about to sign the foreclosure papers when a bag of jewels is discovered, the day is saved, and we see the pirate ship sail out to sea as the film finishes.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You did it in... drumroll. 1 minute, 47 seconds.
That's quite a difficult one to sum up, because there's a lot of bits that happen, yeah. And you've got to kind of try and...
Yeah.
Anyway,
no, nice. 2 seconds under.
Oh, I had no idea. I was just trying to get as much in as I could.
Awesome. And what a film then. What a film.
Yeah. There's so much to talk about, I suppose.
Yeah.
Favourite scene or scenes?
I mean, the whole Indiana Jones type stuff. Mm. And like the second half of the film, as they work their way through the tunnel to get to One-Eyed Willy's ship. It's just great. It's so cool. It's funny. It's... I mean, the whole kissing scenes and stuff. It's just funny.
That's brilliant.
It's just brilliant. Yeah, I don't really have that many words for it, because it sweeps you along, and it's just, it's an adventure for kids that adults love.
Yeah.
And you can't not love it.
I mean, you grew up wanting to find adventure, find tunnels and go on.
Yeah, it's true. As we
don't. And I think that sticks with you into adulthood as well. You know, you're like, let's go on an adventure, let's go to a tunnel.
Tunnels!
Also, I'm not crapping on the movie at all, but at one point last night, on my first or second viewing, I thought, how much time did One-Eyes Willy's... I can't even say it. How much time did the crew of One-Eyed Willy, how much time did they have in order to set all those traps?
All those traps. And how clever were they to be able to do it all, you know, physically?
All right, what we're going to do, guys, we're going to hide in a cavern, right? you go and sort the traps.
Yeah.
I mean, they must have, I think they probably died of old age, let alone anything else.
Yeah, come on, Willy, can we not just go and spend this money rather than you come up with all these new... elaborate things.
No, I want a pirate organ.
I want massive rocks that fall down when you trip a tripwire.
Yeah, but also there's a little shortcut. You can go through the wishing well if you want. Exactly. Yeah. If you want to get there quicker and bypass a little bit of it.
Yeah,
the wishing well's fine.
Why don't they just take all the money from the wishing well and bugger off?
Well, I suppose some of it's not legal tender anymore.
Like doubloons are.
I mean, I think we wouldn't have been as happy with the film if they'd have done it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
The Goonies get into this tunnel, take all the money from the wishing well, and go. Oh, we've got enough now.
Yeah. There you go. Sod it. We're done.
I don't know if it'd have been as popular.
You're probably right.
So Chris Columbus wrote it, didn't he?
I thought Spielberg wrote it.
Spielberg had the story idea. Chris Columbus wrote the script.
Okay.
Now, I looked at this because I thought Chris Columbus has been writing forever.
Yeah.
I did the mathematics, and he must have been about 25 or 26.
Okay.
When he wrote this. I mean, imagine having that as a career, 25 or 26, having the Goonies as one of your...
Oh, for a start, having the Goonies on your CV.
Mm. But I think it was one of his first things as well, like two or three in.
Right.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. I suppose it harks back to things like the Hardy Boys and all those old movies you would have watched in the cinema, you know, the cowboy things and all that. So the same sort of thing that Indiana Jones had been based on. Obviously, that's very much a Spielberg thing, isn't it? That's obviously very much part of his childhood, which is where this has all come from. But it's given such an 80s twist, and it's so funny as well. I mean, the kids are brilliant.
They are absolutely amazing. We've talked about this already, you know, off mic. I can't wait to start talking about the cast, actually.
Because they are a real top-notch cast.
I think originally Spielberg was meant to direct it.
Right.
And then things changed and Donna was brought on board. But, I mean, obviously, he still has such a passion for it.
Yeah. How can you not? How can you not? I mean, this film is a gift to any director.
Yeah. The booby trap stuff is just great. And just watching the whole process of the booby traps, putting the skull on and everything coming down. Yeah.
Yeah. But also the kids' personalities as well. I mean, that whole opening scene where they're in the house and Chunk snaps the penis off the air.
Oh.
It's just so funny. And the kids, instantly, they're all such characters. And the characters are so well-defined straight off the bat. You know exactly what you're going to get from this film.
You must have done that as well, though. You must have broken something at home and thought, I can fix that. Mum will never notice.
Yeah, I remember. I remember. It was probably one of the first times I was actually left alone in the house with a mate whilst Mum was out working and Dad were shopping or whatever. And for some reason, at the time, it was funny just to jump off the bed.
Right.
And all of a sudden, there was a crash downstairs. My room was above the dining room. And he used to have a strip light in the dining room.
Oh,
and
no.
Jump off the bed. But the I don't know what you'd call it, the outer plastic cover of the strip light just came crashing down from the ceiling and smashed on the dining room table.
That's like an Only Fools moment, isn't it?
Yeah. There was no cover in that when they got home.
All right.
I don't know what happened. It was just a crash. Probably would have been better if we just sat in the front room and watched porn.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Or put Michelangelo's David's penis back on the wrong way around.
Yeah, yeah.
As a young kid or a young actor, just seeing that ship must have been amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that ship is a thing of beauty. That whole set as well.
Yeah.
Just sitting there watching it again last night, just thinking. I think it was you that said about the first time they saw the ship.
Yeah, apparently they said the first time they saw the ship was the first time it was revealed to them. So they got a real reaction.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at that whole set, you've got that beautiful crystal clear water. And I know it's a set, so it's obviously, but the ship is beautiful. The whole cave looks like a cave, and it's very difficult to make a cave look like a cave when you're in a back lot or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just the film looks fantastic. The kids are fantastic. The sets are fantastic.
That water slide is fantastic.
That water slide. I mean, I'm not an adrenaline junkie by any stretch of the imagination, but I want to have a fucking go on that
slide.
They
must. I've not Googled it, but they must have some sort of Goonies water slide somewhere.
I'd be surprised if they didn't have a whole sort of adventure park Goonies type thing.
How good would that be?
And if they haven't, I'm putting my stamp on that right now.
Yes, because you own the Goonies.
I own that idea.
Yeah.
God damn it.
But there's so much to talk about. I'm guessing a lot more will come out when we talk about the characters.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, can't wait.
And there's a lot of them, to be fair.
Yes.
More than you originally think. Even Les Dawson puts in an appearance. Oh, she's great. I love her.
She is great.
She's well, so
funny. Should we take a little break there and come back in a minute and start talking about the characters?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Daz, have you heard of Patreon?
No.
Well, back along, you could become a patron of a show, etc. You can do exactly the same thing now, but in a modern twist.
What, like for our show?
Yeah, for our show, yeah.
Okay, tell me more.
So what you can do is support us by signing up to patreon.com/80sadventure. There's four different tiers at the moment.
But what, so people pay and that enables us to do...
Yeah, we're more stuff, but yeah, also great. There's rewards for them as well, ranging, you know, from a very small reward right up to bigger rewards and a lot more fun content from us.
So what could people get in return?
You can get early access. You can get your name on your website as a supporter.
Nice.
You can get a vote on one of the episodes we do each month.
What, people actually get to vote on what film?
Yeah, and also maybe a Q&A, something like that. Have a few drinks with us.
Fantastic.
So yeah. All you have to do is head to patreon.com/80sadventure.
I'm on my way now. Bye.
Guys, we're back!
And we've had lots more drink.
Yeah, we took a longer break than we normally do.
Well, we were waiting for the food.
We were waiting for food.
We always have food sort of at some point during the podcast to try and soak up the alcohol. unfortunately, tonight was my turn to order because we're at my house tonight and it took a lot longer to arrive than we were expecting.
By Darren's house, we say studio because we obviously record in studios.
Yeah.
After less than 10 weeks, of course, we've moved into studios. But...
yes, we are at Damn 80s Studio.
Damn 80s, I like that. Darren and Matt 80s, Damn 80s.
Yeah.
So before we get into talking about the cast,
yes.
I've only got one little tidbit about alternate casting.
I like tidbits.
So the story goes, I'm not indulging you in your tidbits. The story goes that Corey Feldman was originally, you know, you, Steven Spielberg, you're playing Mouth, etc. Then when he stopped directing the movie and was just producing it, he had to go in and read for Richard Donner to play Mouth.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah. So
Richard Donner made Corey Feldman read for a part.
Yes, he did. But also in the same room, about to go and read, where they first met was Corey Haim, reading for the same part. So...
what a burn.
In an alternate universe, Corey Haim could have played Mouth.
Oh, could I see that?
I can more than just see it. I think nothing against Feldman. I think that might have really, really worked well. And out of the two, Corey Haim is the more fast talker.
He is, but he's not as naughty. Feldman's always the naughtier of the two.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
He's the potty mouth, funny guy, whereas Haim's he's a funny guy.
Mm.
He's the smooth guy.
He is, yeah.
For me.
I think as Mouth, he might have worked.
Yeah,
I think he would have been really good.
Yeah, he would have been a very different Mouth.
But also, what's he called? So say we had Corey Haim as Mouth. Yeah. Also, Jeff Cohen, who played Chunk, originally auditioned to play, I think it was like Mouth or something like that as well.
Oh, okay.
He was just perfect. And so shall we get into the actual casting?
Well, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So do you want to, should we do the Goonies first and then on to the villains?
Yeah. The film is the Goonies, isn't it? So we got to go into the boys first.
Okay, so I've always called him Sean Astin, right? But it's Astin, isn't it?
Yeah,
Sean
Astin. Sean Astin, yeah.
So Sean Astin as Mikey.
For me,
yeah.
And this is going to sound quite harsh,
mm-hmm.
I don't mean it to, I think he's the weak link. I think he's the weakest of the bunch. At the start of the film,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they filmed what they filmed in what order. They're
talking like in terms of his performance?
Performance,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the start of the film, I find him quite weak.
So not the material he's given, but the actual performance.
Yes,
right.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. There's nothing I can particularly put my finger on, but I just think he's a lot more. I think his performance is a more naive acting performance than the rest of the gang. If I'm critically harsh,
yeah,
I think probably Jonathan Kwan.
Yeah,
I think he's probably the weakest actor of the bunch. And that sounds really harsh, because I don't think there are any weak actors in this.
And that was his second film, I think. So first being Temple of Doom,
yep.
and this being his second film, you can give him a bit of a break by sort of it being
Actually, can you?
I think so.
Yeah, and two massive films like that.
Yeah, well, you loved him in Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom is well, out of the four Indiana Jones films, as we will discover later on down the road, Temple of Doom is the pinnacle of the Indiana Jones films at the moment.
At the moment. But what he's given here as well is I'm the gadget guy, and he gets a few cracking lines, but I think he does well with what he's got. I mean, I think they've shared out the stuff.
Yes.
If you like the solving of the quest, they've shared it out amongst the Goonies.
That's what I was saying earlier. You know that the each individual character is so well defined.
Yeah,
and you've got him with his gadgets.
Yeah,
and you've got Corey Feldman just
some
being
stupid gadgets.
Yeah, but he's the go-to gadget guy.
Yeah,
it's great, and his gadgets are phenomenal, and they all work up to a point. Yeah, whether the battery runs out or...
Just on an offshoot, apparently, when it came to the boxing glove...
Yes.
Yeah, so Robert Darby, he was saying, right, as he's crawling up the mountainside to try and catch Data, he said, I would just grab him at this point. And then he turned around and said, well, why didn't he have like a boxing glove that comes out? And it was him that suggested it. So they halted filming that bit for a couple of days. And then they built that boxing glove that comes out.
Because it works the first time, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then the second time, not so much.
Which is also a little bit of a, again, a throwback to another Spielberg influenced film.
Yeah.
Gremlins.
Oh, I thought you were going to go in the Inspector Gadget route.
No, in Gremlins, the guy who's, there's an inventor. I don't know how well you remember it.
Very well. Billy's dad.
Billy's dad is an inventor, and they seem to work the first time, but then not so well the subsequent time.
That's another Corey Feldman movie.
Yes, and another, Spielberg Feldman.
Yeah, so apparently that's where they first met, and then he offered him part of mouth, and then when Donna took over, he said, right, you're going to go read, so.
But he went with him. And yeah, absolutely. I think rightly so. I mean, Hayne would have done a fantastic job.
He would have done a great job.
And it wouldn't have been that different. No, normally at this point, I'd say it would have been a very different movie.
But it wouldn't be.
I just think in a baser sort of way, Feldman is a baser character or a baser person, if you like, than Hayne. Hayne's more the sort of cheeky, lovable guy, was Feldman sort of a bit street.
But what I watched a little documentary last night, and Feldman was talking about that's where he first met Hayne, in that audition room.
Oh, in this audition room?
Yes. Yeah, that's where they first met. Because
that harks back to our Lost Boys podcast.
Yeah, it does, which you can listen to, episode one, so please check.
All previous podcasts are available from your usual platforms.
So and I think that's maybe where their rivalry started, or at least their friendship. And then years later, Feldman auditioned for the lead part in License to Drive.
Right.
Which evidently went to Hayne. So yeah. I think they've always been back and forth. I know, without it become a Corey Hayne podcast, but we love Hayne.
Yeah, absolutely. Hayne and Feldman are, well, as we said before, they're very important to us. So let's leave it at that. Yeah.
Let's leave it at that. What about Josh Brolin? So it was his first film, apparently. So he played Brand.
Yes. Oh, he does what he does with the part.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
And also, to be your first film.
Yeah.
I mean, and arguably the most successful actor that has come out of the Goonies.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
He's huge.
Even now, as we're recording this in 2020, yes, he is. Yeah.
I mean, he's been in, one of the biggest grossing films of all time. He was Thanos in Avengers, but I know you've not seen it, but.
No, of course not.
He's done so much over the years. Yeah. So, just a huge actor, and probably, without being offensive to the rest of the cast, one of the only actors out of this list of actors that is still working majorly today.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, as I say, I'm not a fan of that sort of genre of movies. My wife definitely is. I have to suffer it all the fucking time.
Shut up.
One of my best friends over here it also is as well. So my wife and him just cock on about it all the time.
Yeah, rightly so.
But, I mean, I even having said that, I still recognise the name Josh Brolin. So
I do want to talk about Jeff Cohen for a minute.
Jeff Cohen.
Chunk.
How can you not love Chunk?
He's one of the best things in this film.
Yes, he is.
I mean, I was watching it for the first time last night on the big screen.
Yeah.
And the second time last night at my own house. And he gives everything to that performance.
So
but he's not over the top. He doesn't underplay it.
It's not
he
a
pantomime
performance
it.
At all.
He plays it perfectly.
Well, as a little a thing of proof of that, next to us, there was a car next to us as we were watching last night with a mum and dad and two very young kids.
Oh, yeah,
probably
they were about
seven, eight, nine at the most. And the little boy, I think, was the younger of the two.
Yeah.
And in the scary bits, because there are scary bits, you know, the reveal of Sloth for a start is mm-hmm. quite scary. Or even before it's revealed, when he's chained up against the wall, that's quite scary for a kid. So he was hiding his eyes, but where every time Chunk was on the screen, he was laughing like a drain. We said before in a previous podcast about a friend of ours, his 10-year-old daughter, or coming up to 10-year-old daughter, he showed Goonies.
Yeah,
he showed her Goonies a few weeks ago. Probably a couple of months ago.
Yeah, it is a couple of months ago.
And she adored it. And this little boy in the car next was just proved that as well. He was laughing his head off at the funny bits. He was, you know, hiding his eyes at the scary bits. This film is still a good film for kids to watch, and they still love it.
And arguably, Chunky is probably one of the best characters in
it. He's one of the most identifiable characters for a kid, because he's so funny.
Apparently, Jeff Cohen, when he had to do that confession speech, let's just quickly talk about that. Apparently, so when he had to cry in that, you know, he was thinking about losing his mum and stuff like that. Right. You know, who actually plays his mum later on in the film?
Yep.
What a confession. I mean, it's hilarious. Yeah. It talk to me, tell me everything. And he did tell them everything.
That's what he told.
That whole thing about, you know, I made the whole cinema throw up. And he's like,
that's brilliant. Absolutely. It's a genius speech.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got the fact he gets the baddies on side. I quite like this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They love him. And then the bromance that happens with Sloth.
Oh. Well, as we did discuss a little bit the film earlier, and I said to Matt, with 20/20 eyes, it feels uncomfortable when Sloth picks him up and kisses him. And it shouldn't.
No, it shouldn't. Really, it's shouldn't, such
it's
an
so
innocent thing.
And, you know, Sloth has been devoid of love all of his life.
All his life. So he's dropped on his head so many times as a kid, as we get talked about. Yeah. Well, let's talk about Sloth. I mean, he was played, you know, very, very well by, I'm going to butcher the last name, by John Mutzak. Matuzak.
It's a bit like Korchak.
I saw a photo of him in real life with Mr. T. You know, he was an American football player.
The Sloth was an American.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and used to take hours in makeup and
It's a lot. I'm guessing it's a lot of makeup.
It's a lot of makeup. I
especially
think it's four
for the
or
80s
five
as
hours.
Well. Yeah, yeah.
And the other Fratelli brothers used to rip it into him. So they used to, he'd be able to eat through a straw.
Right.
So they'd liquidise stuff him while they're eating pizza and burgers.
Bastards.
But also the other two Fratelli brothers, so Robert Darby and Joe, I'm going to butcher this as well, Joe Pantolino. They call him Pants a lot of the time, but he's a great actor.
Pantoliano?
That's the one. Alcohol. They would be like us on set, right?
Take the piss.
Just take the piss, Darren.
Oh, really?
So apparently Joe was once either nailed into or out of his dressing room. He nailed the dressing room door shut. And then Robert Darby had a parking space on a film lot with his name there. Now they went and painted over the name. So they used to really rip the hell out of each other.
But that's good, though, because that means they like each other.
And that sort of brattiness was brought into them playing the characters, always vying for mum's attention and stuff like that.
That's the funny thing, though. Yeah, for anyone that's not sort of been involved with this sort of job before, I think it's when you can feel, you can take the piss out of somebody, it proves you trust each other. It's when you're working with someone that you feel you can't do that.
Yeah, that's it.
That's when it becomes a job. And that's horrible. But if this is what they're doing to each other, this is fantastic.
Exactly. They're on set for hours and hours.
Yes.
You're going to find ways to fuck each other over.
Unless you're not enjoying it.
No.
Then you just go and do the job and go home.
But both you and I have been in many shows where you fuck over the other actors. Whether it be on stage or in the dressing rooms or little pranks that you do.
Or you just don't fucking turn up for your cue, Matt.
Let's not even go there. So.
Just saying. Well, we talked about the boys.
Yeah,
we haven't talked about the mum.
We haven't talked about the mum yet, the mum is Anne Ramsey.
No, not Les Dawson.
Yeah, she's got a very harsh look, hasn't she?
Yes, she has. She is fantastic. And she's so funny, and she's the right side of aggressive.
Yeah, I think she used to tell the other boys off as well for pranking each other and arguing in the trailer.
So she was a mumsy mum.
Actually, they became a unit. But
that's great.
You can see that, though. Yeah. I mean, they're really funny together.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely shows on the screen that they all trust each other. They all work together. They don't dislike each other.
So what about the rest of the Goonies, then? I suppose, so we need to talk about Andy. Oh, the beautiful Andy.
Beautiful Andy, yeah.
It's a bit of a weird character because you can tell she likes him, but she's off with the popular kid.
Yes.
Yeah. But very quickly, she wants to snog.
She flips.
Yeah.
Really quickly. Flips. Yeah.
And Steph, she's the best friend. It's reliable.
Yeah.
But the Goonies, they seem to form as a unit very quickly. And do you know what? I don't think it needed much more than that. It was what it was.
Exactly. This is an adventure. This is a kids' adventure film.
Exactly.
For
we
kids
don't,
that
we
adults
don't need,
love.
We don't need 2 hours of exposition.
It doesn't need angst. It doesn't need all that sort of shit that can go with the film now.
Yeah.
And then, to be fair, I love this series, but there's a lot of angst in something like Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But then,
which obviously, it's got a lot
more time to explore.
Yes, but a reference because it's obviously set in the '80s and it's more of a drama. But it has that Goonies feel, it has that Stand By Me feel, it has that E.T. feel. There's a lot of angst in it, and I'm not taking anything away from Stranger Things. I think it's the best series of the last 5 years.
Oh, it's easily, it's awesome,
and I could watch it day in, day out. I wish there were more. This is just a balls out adventure. Yes, okay, it has that female attitude again thing with it. You know, the girls are a little bit hysterical, a bit crap. But at the end of the day, they all come together and they all become Goonies.
I thought it was very funny when it came to the kissing scene, because clearly there was a love there, right?
Yes.
But then they're all having a wee and she starts hollering, doesn't she? She starts saying, right, okay, come on, Bran. And he says, oh, go see what she's talking about. And he sends his little brother off. I'm like, so within 20 minutes, the girl that you love, you've sent your little brother off to. Anyway, who then snogged her first.
Yeah, he got there first. How are you going to live with that, Bran?
So you got Andy. I mean, she was great. Steph.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good unit.
Yes. You know, they come together. I say, at first, is that 80s thing with the girls. They're a little bit ineffectual. They're a bit hysterical. But once they get into it.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we needed Andy as well to play the organ, I guess.
Hey!
do you know what I think?
But I really like the relationship that sort of comes out in this cut. You don't see it as much, but it's there.
Yeah.
With Feldman and with
Steph.
Yeah. With face?
Mouth.
With face. Jeez, I'm going down the 80 route now.
So let's take a moment then to talk about the octopus scene that's deleted.
Yes, you showed me this tonight.
Yeah. So, as they're going towards the pirate ship, an octopus starts going around Steph's leg, and she turns around and she's saying to Mouth, what are you doing? Stop touching me. He's like, I'm not touching you. The octopus keeps going, and she turns around, she slaps him. Yeah. You know, turns out it is a giant octopus.
It is a giant B-movie octopus.
And the way they get rid of him is Data puts a Walkman in his mouth with no headphones or anything, but just a Walkman, which is evidently waterproof, and the octopus dances off. I can see why they cut it.
Yeah, it's. I'm glad they did. with 2020 eyes watching this scene for the first time.
Yeah.
It's a bit silly.
It is a bit silly. I tell you what, why don't we take a break and then we'll come back for some of the music and direction and things like that, and pub quiz.
Pub quiz.
Hey you guys!
Sorry, we had to do it.
Well, we're never going to get this opportunity again.
Exactly. So. Well, there's going to be no Goonies 2. Or is there?
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to talk about that?
Do it. Yeah.
So they still keep saying there's going to be a Goonies. Like, everyone's on board with it, though. All the cast, they really want to do it still.
Yeah, you told me this earlier tonight. Mm. I didn't realise.
They're getting loads of scripts in to see which, you know, what would work. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
As of next year, the four younger... Well, no, is it three of... Mikey, Mouth and Data turn 50 years old.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Yeah, I know, right? It's crazy, right?
Yeah, that is mad.
So, please hurry up. Do you know what? If it happens and it's rubbish, we've still got the original. I'd like to see what they can bring to the table.
Yeah, I agree. Right, do it now. If you're listening, do it.
Speaking of them all on screen, you know the famous story about what happened after the rap?
Do I?
Well,
that's definitely a cue into something.
Spielberg had organised his thing. What he wanted to do is, Donna loved the kids and he was like, they're great, they're wonderful, but I can't wait for a bit of peace and quiet. So,
I can imagine that, yeah.
So he said, right, as soon as this film wraps, I'm going to Maui. He had a house there. And
Poor bastard.
So what Spielberg did is he then flew the cast out.
Oh, you're joking.
He flew the cast
Seriously?
Out.
Seriously?
And there's several different versions of the story, but
right.
One of them is, he got to his house in Maui, and a neighbour took him out for the day. The cast arrived and threw their stuff all over the house.
Oh,
then when he walked back
awesome.
In, they were like, hey, yeah. And he was like, you. And just dropped to his knees. Dropped to his knees. And
I guess that proves that, you know, they had a good time.
Oh, they had a wonderful time.
Because if they didn't, they wouldn't do that.
Apparently for the last week, though, because the surprise was there, they were not talking to him so much, and he was like, oh, they're just being Hollywood brats and they're going to do the next film. And he felt a bit like, oh.
That's great. Oh, I love that story. If that's true, I really love that story.
I've heard so many different versions, but Spielberg and Donna have both told that story. Oh, so it's true.
Lovely. That is great.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
But, like, imagine that. You said
Donna's now like 90 years old.
90 years old this year.
So, yeah. Even if he's just on board as some sort of advisor.
Yeah, advisor, producer. Yeah.
At least do one sequel.
I mean, Donna, right, well, whilst we're here, let's talk about Donna, who directed one of the greatest films ever, in my opinion, which is Superman the movie.
That's all right.
And I love that little drop-in they have with this when Sloth rips open his shirt and they use the John Williams score in it.
It's naughty, it's unnecessary, but my God, I love it.
Yeah, my 7-year-old heart skipped a beat when I heard that. I was like, oh, Superman.
See, we've not done the Johnny Williams score yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
I can't wait till we
do. So who did the score for this? So we're looking at Dave Grusin.
I have to say, it's a very John Williams score.
Yeah.
It's a very...
It's
really adventurous. You know exactly what's happening in every scene that his score is used in. And he's great. He's really good.
He's worked in the industry for a long time, wasn't
he? And you
he?
Can tell. You can
I mean,
tell.
What, born in 1934, as I'm reading right now.
Yeah.
The only films I can see he was like Tootsie.
Tootsie, great film.
Yeah,
great
Tootsie.
Film. Oh, that's an 80s film we can do.
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see. I saw that when I was about 15 or 16,
yeah,
I think.
That's a great film. Great film.
Goonies seems to be one of his biggest hits.
Looking at the score as well, there's lots of other things in there as well. You got a song by Cyndi Lauper.
You do.
Who is... She's perfect for this sort of 80s film,
she
isn't
is.
She?
She
I think she's fantastic. And that song, the Goonies are good enough. It's a great song. You're looking at me like I'm wrong.
Well, okay.
I
watched an interview with Feldman as well, and I kind of agree with him... He was excited about Cyndi Lauper doing a song for the Goonies. It's not that great a song. What I will say, I listened to it 3 or 4 times yesterday and it grew on me a bit. Yeah. But it's not a John Parr song, is it? It's not a song that you kind of go, oh, I love this song.
But would you expect a Cyndi Lauper song to be a John Parr
song? Cyndi Lauper can be catchy though, can't she? So
I think the song is catchy.
I think I'm with Corey Feldman on this. I like Cyndi Lauper, but I don't think this song is... I would never listen to this song on the radio and go, oh, that's the Goonies song. You can't identify the film from that song.
I disagree to your point, because I think the song is perfect for the film.
No offence, Cyndi.
Yeah.
Because I do like what you do.
I like Cyndi. And I like you in Life with Mikey as well.
Oh,
but we can't talk about that.
No, because it's a 90s film.
But you also got the Bangles in there as well on the soundtrack. That's great. And REO Speedwagon, they're in there too. So I like this film and I love the soundtrack. That's as far as it goes for me.
Well, this is it. I've been Matt.
Well, I think we all know where we're heading now, don't we?
We're heading to pub quiz, aren't we?
Eyes down for a full house.
So, pub quiz this week.
Pub quiz this week,
I can't remember who went first last week, so shall we just...
Let's just go for it. We're going to do it anyway. So
right.
Didn't I?
Go on then.
Well, as any of you who are new to this, hello and welcome. Please subscribe on all your regular platforms.
Yeah.
And leave us a nice review if you've enjoyed it. If you haven't enjoyed it, then don't fucking say a word. But at this point, we have a little quiz for each other.
Yes, we do.
And I ask a question to Matt. If he gets it right, I drink. If he gets it wrong, then he drinks.
And vice versa.
And vice versa.
Vice versa.
Vice versa.
We will have to do that 1 week.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait. So do you want to go first this week or do you want me to go first? It's totally up to
you. I'd like you to go first this week, please.
Okay.
Okay, so what's the score at the moment?
The score as it stands going into this round, I think it's 4-3.
Yeah. Okay.
So, should we...
still all to play for.
It's still all to play for. Should we do it?
In the ready money round.
Ready money round! Right then. Question one.
Yeah.
What's the shape of the lamp on Mikey's bedpost?
The lamp on Mikey's bedpost.
Would you just want to repeat the question?
Yeah, I'm just having to think about it.
Okay.
Because I think I'm going to have to drink on this one.
Oh, really?
I'm going to hazard a guess.
Go on.
A light bulb.
Ah, so close. It's a skull.
That's kind of obvious, isn't it? I should have just said skull.
Given what happens later in the film, Yeah. Woohoo! It's one to me.
Right.
Yes.
Question one for you.
Yeah.
What flavour of ice cream does Sloth offer Chunk while he's on the phone in the basement?
Oh, it's, God, I know this. I know this. It's not, but I'm going to say it's chocolate something, is it? Chocolate cookie dough.
Wrong. It's Rocky Road.
Rocky Road! Bollocks.
Okay. One each.
Okay. What's written on the note that Jake Fratelli leaves for the prison guard to find on his body?
What, like word for word?
No, just the gist.
Oh, the gist is something like, I would never kill myself, you stupid dick, or something like that.
Okay, the last two words.
Up yours?
It's wrong. It's you schmuck.
Oh, you schmuck. Okay. Then I will drink.
Okay. Ooh, this could be a dead heat this week.
Ooh. Question number two for you.
Yes.
Which famous director had a cameo at the end of the film?
At the end of the film?
That smirk on your face makes me think you know this.
No, because, I mean, the obvious answer is Spielberg, but was he in that crowd at the end of the film? Can I ask a further question? Is this in the crowd of people?
No, it's at the end of the film, once they've escaped from the so take from that what you will. Once they've escaped from the cavern.
So in that crowd of people, is there someone that... if it's not Spielberg, who's going to be? You know, if I go for Spielberg, it's going to be someone else. If I go for Rob Reiner, it's going to be fucking Spielberg. I'm going to go Rob Reiner.
Wrong.
Who was it?
Richard Donner.
Oh, he's actually in.
Was one of the cops that was on a little quad bike at the end.
Ah, okay. To be fair, I don't think I could pick him out of a crowd.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what he looks like.
I would walk along the street and see Richard Donner and fall to my knees and say, "Thank you for Superman."
Well, you'd fall to your knees and go. Something like that, yeah. Okay, so that's two each.
Yeah.
Two each.
Well, you can drink for that then.
All right. Okay, then. As regular listeners will know, and for anyone that's new, my third question is always complete the quote. So, which quote do I go with? One I think is really obvious, but it's my favourite, but I think you'll get it. So I'm going to go with the other one. This is for Andy and Mikey.
Right.
Andy says, I can't tell if it's an A sharp or if it's a B flat.
Well, if you get this wrong, we'll all be flat.
Bollocks! Okay, you got the other one. It would have been to Irene and Mouth. Now, Rosalita, this is the attic. Mr. Walsh doesn't like anybody up here ever. I guess that's why it's always open. And Mouth says,
I wouldn't have got it, Darren.
Oh, God, I've done it again. I've gone for the wrong one again. Translation, never go up there. It's filled with Mr. Walsh's sexual torture devices. Oh, I should have gone with it. See, that's the one I thought you would have got. Okay, so it's 3-2 to you at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. This is your final question. This could be 3 or 4-2 to you.
I've got one or two questions to ask you.
Okay.
One is a bit of trivia that is said a lot about the film. The other one is in...
Well, can you ask trivia? Because that's not actually strictly the film. I'll leave it up to your conscience.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask you this third question, and if you get it right, then we'll have to do the other one as a tiebreaker, I guess.
But you know the answer.
Oh, yeah.
No, just well, let's just see where this goes. I've got a feeling you're going to get it right anyway.
What was the pirate ship called?
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, come on, 45-year-old brain, you can do this. Oh, my God.
Whose brain did you steal it being only 45?
Fuck you. Oh, shit.
Is that your final answer?
No. I know what it's called. And yet all I've got is One-Eyed Willy's Pirate Ship.
Imagine that, One-Eyed Willy's Pirate Ship.
It's called the...
I'm going to have to press you for an answer now, Darren, please.
No, it's gone. I know it, but no.
That means I win, right?
That means you win.
The Inferno. Would you have got the alternate question, I wonder?
Well, yeah, let's find out.
The Goonies are called the Goonies because of where they come from, which is where?
Goondock.
And there we go. You would have got that
one. I should have kept my gob shut. Okay. So you win this week. So that means
I've lost my lead properly now. It's 4-4.
4-4.
It's all to play for.
Coming to get you, Darren. I'm coming to get you.
You bastard.
I'm not happy about that. Oh, well. I guess that's the quiz then. Shall we go to last orders?
Last orders at the bar, please. Last orders at the bar.
Darren, I must say, this has been a fun adventure to see the Goonies, not just once, but twice in one night, but then to chat about it the next night.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. I mean, there's some films that come along in your lifetime, and this is going to sound really poncy, if you like, or whatever. I don't care. There are some films that come along in your lifetime that mean, or just hit you at a certain time in your life. I'm sure you hear this a lot during the podcasts because, you know, the 80s were our formative years. But this film in particular means so much to so many people of my age and of your age as well. And I'm sure if I went to, you know, we've been out of touch for God knows how many years now. But I'm sure if I sat my year group down, from, you know, my year from school, sat them down and said, you know, the Goonies.
Yeah.
I think the reaction would probably be pretty much, I reckon, 100% the same. It's an important film. It's a good film. You just go back and watch it again over and over and over.
I think if I sat my year group down from school and said to them, don't you realise the next time you see Sky, it'll be in another town. The next time you take a test.
Oh, my God. You always have to go one step further. You always have to go one step further. Yeah. They probably get that quote.
It's great. It's absolutely perfect. So I guess we have to look at scoring it.
Yeah. You say it's perfect. I don't think it is perfect.
Well, it's not perfect, but as in I love it so much. Yeah. I know exactly what score I'm giving it.
Yeah. I'm wavering.
Okay.
There's a couple of things that, for me, aren't right. I think the pacing in certain places is wrong.
Yeah.
And I think there are a few little nips and tucks that could have been under the script.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a fantastic film.
Mm-hmm.
And I love watching it. And I loved watching it last night.
Yeah.
There's a few little things that aren't quite right. And I would have liked to have seen a few more challenges, I think, maybe towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Getting up to one.
Yeah, because there was a water slide and that was it. Yeah, you know, they were there.
Yeah, but it's very nitpicky, I think. So for me, I'm going to give it... I'm going to err on the side of caution and give it an 8.
Okay, I think this is the first time that I'm going to give a score higher than yours.
Really?
Darren, it's a 9 from me.
I was... Yeah, that's fair enough. I was wavering between 8 and 9, but no, I'm going to sit with an 8.
That's brilliant. Well, it's still a really good score, though.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's a very, very good score.
Yeah. Oh, it's a very, very good film.
And I've had a wonderful time with this film.
And it was fantastic revisiting this film again.
Again.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess at this point, now that we've sorted this film out, it's time for you to do your thing.
And, next week's film.
A little clue to next time.
So next week's film, would you like to hear the tagline, Darren?
Well, I'd be rude not to, really.
It'd be rude not to.
Yeah.
So there's about five that I can choose from. I'm going to go with the first one that I see. So next week, we're going to be doing, hopefully a wonderful film. And
it's quite appropriate to...
And it will be quite appropriate for when it gets released.
Yes.
So next week is History is About to Be Rewritten by Two Guys Who Can't Spell.
What could that be? So it's relevant to the time it's going to be released.
And time. Well, time, yeah. Time is a
time,
thing.
Time. I wonder what it could
so
be.
So that's it. If you can't wait till next week, then please just check out our Facebook on Wednesday where the trailer will drop. I know you hate it.
He'll do what now?
The trailer will be released.
And on Friday, there might be a massive clue.
Yeah, of course, on Friday there might be a massive clue.
Yeah.
So all you can do to stay in touch with us is please look at facebook.com/80sadventure.
Yeah.
You can also check out our website, which is 80sadventure.com.
And all the regular platforms, please subscribe, please review. Give us a like and share us with all your friends.
We've had a great time. We really enjoyed doing this, and we hope you enjoy listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I suppose until next time, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheersy.
Cheersy.
Yay.
Oh, fucking last chicken and Sainsbury's. Nice.
Yeah, and you were doing New York, New York with your trousers around your ankles.
I never did that.
No, every week.